Hello everyone, welcome back to the Stereotypically Japan podcast. My name is Michael, and every week I'd like to talk about my experiences and life in Japan, focused around some common stereotypes that people may have. I noticed that recently the topics have been a little on the serious side, but this week I want to discuss something a little bit different, something very near and dear to me and millions, if not billions, of other people. That's food. I think this topic is something that everyone is interested in, so I want to do it justice. When it comes to food, Japan does this right. I want to touch on a few different topics, things like restaurants, fast food, Japanese taste, ingredients, and everyone's favorite word, umami. Before we start, I want to address the Wagyu-sized monkey in the room here. Everyone who says Wagyu this, Wagyu that, I'm sorry, but most of what you're eating isn't real Wagyu. In 1997, Japan declared Wagyu a national treasure. It is illegal to export live cattle or any kind of genetic material from Japan. So if you went down to Walmart and bought a steak for 10 bucks labeled as Wagyu, yeah, that's about as Wagyu as my Big Mac that I can buy from down the street. National Wagyu Day? Yeah. Do you know who declared June 21st National Wagyu Day? A 28-year-old real estate bro named Steve from LA. Because he likes steak. And guess what? His birthday is June 21st. The World Wagyu Council, that official-looking council from Australia, founded in 2015 with no Japanese people or anything even remotely related to Japan, and literally anyone can pay 500 bucks to become a chairman? Yeah, okay. They are the world's leading authority on Japanese beef. I could go on and on, but I do have one more gear to grind. Before I move on to the real juicy bits, pun intended, the real problem I have is with the word umami. If you are listening to this and you don't know what the phrase Hallmark holiday means, let me explain. It is a term used to describe a holiday that has become more for commercial reasons and not for commemorating anything special. The holidays are meant to sell cards and chocolates and flowers and earn all kinds of monies for big corpos. The word umami is just that. And it is used for commercial purposes. The kanji for umami literally just translates into delicious taste. It is quite vague and abstract because it's supposed to be this something that can't be described. I don't care how many pictures describe umami as some weird part of your tongue. That isn't what umami is. If we ask Google, what is umami? The number one answer is that it's monosodium glutamate, or MSG. And do you know who declared that? It's Ajinomoto, the biggest company in Japan that sells condiments and, of course, MSG. They are smart for literally willing that whole word association into existence. So next time you use the word umami, you might as well just say it needs some Ajinomoto instead. I'm sorry about that tangent, but it's been on my mind for a while. So with that out of the way, let's get down to the real Nikujaga of this episode. Firstly, let's talk about the restaurants in Japan. I'm not going to be making any specific recommendations about where to go, unless you want some, then I'll post them to Instagram, so let me know there if you want to know some good places in or around Tokyo. For those of you who have been to Japan and have been to restaurants while you were here, I want to know what you think, so leave a comment on my socials or send an email. I would imagine that a lot of you would say similar things. But for now, what I would say is that the service is alright, the restaurants are pretty clean, they aren't so quick, and the staff is okay. That is all quite average, but one thing that elevates those up to a higher level is that the food is usually pretty amazing. I've been to hundreds of restaurants, but the overwhelming majority of them have really good food. Not the best food ever, those are a few places, but it's all actually pretty good. I have been to some bad ones, but usually what makes the restaurant bad isn't the food. In most cases, it's the service. Even now, I'm trying to think of a time where I went to a restaurant with genuinely bad food. I can't think of one. Honestly, maybe it was a family restaurant I went to. Even saying that, it's hard to call it bad. For me, what makes the food good is a lot of things, not only the taste. Of course, it has to taste good. But what I really love about Japanese restaurants and food is how social they are, if that makes sense. When I first came to Japan, my brother took me to an okonomiyaki restaurant. That was the first time I even heard the word. If you don't know what it is, think of it as a savory pancake with cabbage and some pork inside, cooked on a hot plate with some sauce, mayonnaise, bonito, and seaweed flakes. You have these little spatula-type utensils, and you just cook it right there, cut it up, and eat it off the hot plate. It's an activity. It's something the whole meal is centered around, and it brings people together. Everyone is looking at the food, engaging with each other, talking, laughing, drinking, flipping the food, and the anticipation just builds. When can we eat it? When is it ready? What does it taste like? How do I eat it? What do I do? If it isn't your first time, you still have the sense of anticipation. You order a nice cold drink, take a sip, and wait for it to be ready to eat. That just brings some kind of emotions and gets us excited. A lot of restaurants trigger the same feelings, like yakiniku, yakitori, shabu-shabu, teppanyaki, munjayaki, kaiten sushi or conveyor belt sushi, even omakase sushi. The anticipation of what you're going to eat is exciting. The list goes on, and in Japan, that feeling is really important. I'll talk about this in another episode, but that feeling is so important because it's not only about the food, but about what people drink as well. So that feeling just brings everything together and creates an atmosphere and situation that people can really look forward to, especially after a particularly long day or week or month, not just because of the food, not just because of the drinks, but also because they have a chance to socialize and communicate with someone. That just adds to the overall experience and makes the food a lot more delicious. If you are looking for something quick and easy, Japan also has you covered. If we talk about fast food, how can we not talk about the Golden Arches? If you have been to Mickey D's, Mecca's, Shea McDo while you were in Japan, there is just something different about it. For one, the burger looks like what it's supposed to, and it is very presentable. Also, one of the biggest differences is a little surprising, but at the same time, not surprising at all. The employees follow all of the standards, procedures, pretty well. There are obvious exceptions, and recently, there have been some shenanigans with young staff posting some things on SNS. But every basket has a few bad apples. They follow them almost to a T, which creates a level of consistency that one would expect from a large franchise. And also, those procedures were created for a very specific reason. Not only for efficiency, but also for taste. If you order 100 cheeseburgers, you're going to get 200 pickles, 100 patties, 100 slices of cheese, and 100 buns. Another example is Subway. If you get a sub with olives, pickles, and jalapenos, you will get exactly 3 of each every single time. You will get the exact same handful of lettuce. You will get exactly 2 slices of tomatoes. You'll get about 6 or 7 strands of onions. And I don't like green peppers on mine, so I have no idea. I know this because I mentioned this in another episode, but before work, I eat my sandwich and have a coffee. That sandwich is from Subway, and the consistency of it is pretty mind-blowing. I've been taking pictures of my sub every morning to keep a food diary. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the days because of just how similar they are made. That dedication to follow the procedures and just do everything the way you're supposed to, that is a big part of Japan and something that translates directly into the quality of food, either at a proper sit-down restaurant or fast food. Another thing I hear about Japanese food, and interestingly, from all kinds of people, Japanese and non-Japanese alike, is that a lot of the food in Japan has a very Japanese taste. That has quite a few different meanings, but mainly it's about adding more subtlety to the food, kicking it down a notch, making it more palatable for Japanese, so not super spicy, no really strong flavors, and ingredients that are more familiar. While it is good to make food from all over the world a lot easier to experience from the safety of Japan, because if you remember, about 52 million people don't even have a passport. It also makes it really difficult to get authentic food from anywhere. The places that do have authentic cuisine, there's still just something that I can't quite put my finger on. I don't know if it's because of the ingredients, or the seasoning, or the recipe, or just little bits of everything all rolled into one bigger difference, but something just isn't the same. When I lived in Abu Dhabi, I had some amazing shawarma from the souks. In Tokyo, I haven't had anything even close. Why is there so much cabbage? Why is there so little meat? Why aren't there any sloppy French fries in them? Where is my real garlicky sauce? If anyone wants to start a real shawarma business in Tokyo, like a food truck or something, there you go. Take that to the bank, make it legit, and you'll be printing money. The last topic I want to bring up is about the ingredients. One thing I love about Japan is how every prefecture, every area, has some kind of food unique to it, something that it is famous for, something amazing. Not just local dishes, but also local ingredients that have some characteristics that are unique to the area. Everything from the milk, melons, and corn of Hokkaido, to the mangoes, strawberries, and soy sauce of Kyushu, or the salt and pork of Okinawa, and everything in between. Those ingredients local to their areas are what really make the food stand out from others. You can have soba anywhere, but have you had soki soba from Okinawa? Everyone dips their sashimi in soy sauce, but have you had it with Kyushu soy sauce? We've all had tempura, but the sweet corn tempura from Hokkaido? Those are just a few examples, but literally every place in Japan has such examples of these kinds of foods, and these are what people are talking about when they say food in Japan is amazing. While the same dishes everywhere are fine, when you get to try local cuisine, it just hits different. I want to take a second to go back to Kyushu soy sauce. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it a bit more, because it's really a game changer. Everyone has had soy sauce before. It's quite difficult not to. But what really makes it different down in Kyushu is that it is sweet and thick, akin to a crema de balsamico. It is absolutely amazing with sashimi. I love it with sushi. I'm a big fan of sweet and salty together, and the harmony between fresh fish with rice and wasabi and the soy sauce, that is what umami is, the essence of deliciousness. And that comes from the ingredients and the balance and combination and texture of everything, not MSG. I really could go on and on about food and restaurants in Japan, but the one thing I really want you to understand is, yes, the food in Japan is really good, but what you should be doing is trying more of the niche restaurants that serve very local and more specific cuisines that use local ingredients, because then you can get a real sense of Japan as a country and understand a bit more deeply about the culture and history. There is always a reason for why something is the way it is. I really want to implore you to go and try to experience them yourself. Not just because it's delicious, but because there is a lot more to understand. The thought and effort that goes into the food and ingredients is something that shouldn't be taken for granted. There is a reason why food in Japan is so delicious. The effort that is put into everything, that is what makes it delicious. If we put just a bit more effort into everything we do, not only will it make everything a bit easier, but life will become a lot more delicious as well. Thank you so much for joining me again. This is Stereotypically Japan. I really appreciate everyone's support and kind words. Please look forward to the next episode, where I will discuss what is a natural segue from food, that is the alcohol and drinking culture in Japan. If you have any questions or comments, please send an email or contact me on socials. Links are in the description. If you'd like to help out, please consider leaving a like or a review on any of the platforms you found me on. It really helps get the show to a few more people. So until next time, please take care of me, and I'll catch you on the flip side. Jane.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites, made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.